Let's go ahead and get into another edition of the Chad Smith Media Podcast. And we had some, well, you might call it interesting. Some might call it not good news break out of Washington, D.C. on Friday. President Donald Trump announcing that his administration is going to impose a 25% tariff on Chinese technology imports to the tune of about $50 billion. The first round of tariffs, worth approximately $34 billion, are set to take effect coming up on July 6th. And as you can probably imagine, the reaction not so positive from agriculture groups across the spectrum. Near certain and swift retaliation is expected against U.S. farm goods in what's increasingly becoming a trade war. President Trump again announcing a 25% tariff on approximately $50 billion in technology goods. The Farmers for Free Trade Group was one of the first to react to the news on Friday. Their executive director, Brian Keel, says the threat of heavy retaliatory tariffs by China on U.S. farm exports isn't theoretical anymore. He says it's downright scary.
This is a classic trade war. China has already indicated that they will immediately retaliate. They'll retaliate against U.S. beef. They'll retaliate against U.S. soybeans, against corn. So some major commodities will likely get hit.
China, Canada, Mexico, and the European Union have already struck back over U.S. steel tariffs. President Trump is also considering new duties on imported cars and threatens to triple the latest tariffs on Chinese technology if Beijing retaliates again. Keel goes on to paint a pretty grim picture.
We've got the other guy by the throat, and the tighter we squeeze, the more we choke.
It probably doesn't take an economics degree to figure out that it's farmers who will be choking on both lower export sales and higher import costs for steel, passed along in tractors, combines, and grain bins, of course. As for a government rescue package that the president's talked about?
A rescue package is a short-term fix. The problem is we're doing long-term damage. If our soybeans cost more in China, Brazil will start to establish contracts and markets. If our beef costs more in China, Australia will start to establish contracts and markets.
This is one of the points that I've been looking for quite some time. Keel argues for a coalition maximum pressure approach to Chinese trade misbehavior instead of a unilateral U.S. versus China approach. Why can't we get other countries to do this with us? Instead, Keel complains, the president's whacking friendly trading partners he needs, and U.S. farmers are being squeezed in return. Now, as you can imagine, Farmers for Free Trade, not the only agricultural group not happy. Again, weeks of speculation ending on Friday with new anxiety for growers of America's leading agricultural export, that would be soybeans. The American Soybean Association, on behalf of all U.S. soy growers, ticked off in the administration's decision, which follows weeks of imploring the president and his team to find non-tariff solutions to address Chinese intellectual property theft and not place American farmers in harm's way. I don't think for a second that anyone in agriculture is saying Chinese theft of our intellectual property needs to be dealt with. Why do you have to balance it, though, on the backs of American farmers who are already taking it in the shorts because of ridiculously low commodity prices? In fact, the American Soybean Association has twice requested a meeting with the president to discuss how increasing soy exports to China can be a part of the solution to the U.S. trade deficit without resorting to devastating tariffs. In the meantime, the National Farmers Union also had some comments about the trade tariffs moving forward, as we're joined now by NFU President Roger Johnson.
Farmers Union fully supports strong trade enforcement to achieve fair and balanced trade markets. We also support the administration's goal of reducing the enormous U.S. trade deficit. But our organization grows increasingly concerned that this administration does not have a plan to ensure family farmers and ranchers aren't thrown under the bus for the sake of these goals. None of the trade market disruption occurring presently should be looked at in isolation. The administration must work with Congress to develop a comprehensive solution to ensure family farmers can continue to provide for the nation. Fortunately, the current Farm Bill drafts moving through Congress present an opportunity for the administration to do just that. And the current programs within the Farm Bill, if provided adequate resources, could provide a stronger safety net. Farmers Union strongly urges this administration to move swiftly to put in place measures that ensure farmers and ranchers can survive the current slump in the farm economy and volatility in international trade markets that is sure to follow the imposition of new tariffs.
Again, keep in mind that the Farmers Union isn't necessarily railing against the idea of rebalancing our trade policies when it's compared to countries like China and Canada, who they say are not trading fairly at all on the world market. In fact, he said Farmers Union fully supports, again, a strong trade enforcement program to achieve fair and balanced trade markets. So I guess only time will tell. Farmers Union again wants the administration to move swiftly to put in place measures that ensure farmers and ranchers can even survive the current slump in the farm economy and volatility in international trade markets that's sure to follow the imposition of new tariffs. That's going to do it. That's another Chad Smith Media podcast.